It's so great to have so many people at this event this evening. We actually have two levels of people watching, which is wonderful. My name is Zoe Serafis, and I'll start off by welcoming everyone and acknowledging we are gathered on the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territory of the Musqueam people. We have a short program for you tonight to give you a little bit more time to explore all that we have for you here during the reception time. Following a few words of my own, you will also have the opportunity to hear from Vice President of Development and Alumni Engagement, Barbara Miles, as well as our new University President, Professor Santa J. Ono. I'll get you started with a little story of my own, highlighting the value that donors have brought to my experience at UBC. Born in BC, I dreamed of attending the University of British Columbia. Now, here I am, graduating this spring, and I can say I don't want to leave. I have had tremendous opportunities while attending UBC, in great part due to the Hugh M. Brock National Entrance Scholarship, which I am honored to have received and proud to have maintained through high academic standing over each of my 4 years at UBC. This award has motivated me not only to succeed academically, but it has influenced my determination and my engagement with UBC and the greater community to give back. It has afforded me many opportunities that I may not have been able to take advantage of or succeed in. For example, the ability to contribute to the Special Olympics as a volunteer screening athlete, mentoring other students as a kinesiology peer academic coach, as well as serving as a student representative on the School of Kinesiology Outreach Committee, have been facilitated by the Hugh M. Brock Award. In turn, these experiences have led me to volunteer and research opportunities at the world-renowned Multidisciplinary Spinal Cord Injury Research Center, which many of you may know as ICORD. My initial involvement at ICORD was in a Canada-wide cardiovascular exercise intervention study in spinal cord injured patients, which actually was the first of its kind. This was such a meaningful experience for me that it led me to take on my own research project, and this past summer, I was fortunate to also be chosen for the Faculty of Medicine Summer Student Research Program Award to support my project at ICORD, examining changes in the brain due to spinal cord injury. I am now continuing this project as a work-learn student, and I am also undertaking an additional research project this year as a part of my coursework. As a result, my UBC education and my award-supported experiences have now shaped my future goals. I plan to pursue medicine. However, my firsthand experience seeing how research can improve the care and lives of numerous people has led me now to a new goal of being a clinician scientist, which will enable me to translate preclinical research innovations to clinical application. These scholarships and awards are incredibly valuable to students like me. I am extremely grateful to the donors who created my scholarship gift and the opportunities that it afforded me. Because of donors like you who contribute to improve the lives of individuals and students here at UBC, we are able to make a difference in the world. Thank you. It is now my pleasure to introduce you to UBC's Vice President of Development and Alumni Engagement. Barbara Miles has been in this position since January 2008 and is responsible for leading one of the most innovative and integrated development and alumni engagement portfolios in North America. She led the successful completion of Start an Evolution at UBC, the most ambitious fundraising and alumni engagement campaign in Canadian history, raising $1.624 billion and engaging 130,000 alumni. Please join me in welcoming Barbara Miles to the stage.
Well, good evening to all of you and welcome. And thank you, Zoe. Thank you for sharing your compelling story with us. And most importantly, thank you for making such exceptional use of your time and opportunity at UBC. It really is yours. Tuam est. Well, we have so much to celebrate and be thankful for this evening. To begin with, we have you. You who give annually, who think of this institution year after year and champion us. You who make legacy plans to ensure our future success. You who make transformative gifts, enabling us to be the best we can be. All of you, together, constantly supporting, pushing, and widening the margin of excellence that makes UBC so great. It's often said that an organization is only as good as its people. Well, when it comes to UBC, some may think that refers to our exceptional faculty and researchers, our outstanding students and alumni, and our dedicated staff, and it does. But this evening, I'm here to tell you that it also refers to you, our amazing donors. You are our good people. And our good people have continued to support UBC in ways as diverse and unique as each of us. There were almost, last year, almost 17,000 donors to UBC. 17,000 donors who gave to student financial need, to scholarships, to groundbreaking research, to facilities, equipment and collections, and to academic programs in support of the outstanding teaching and learning taking place across our campuses every day. The power of a community that is 17,000 members strong sends a pretty loud message to the world, a message that says you care enough to invest your money with UBC, to create change in this world. Whether you're supporting healthy forests and clean energy, sustainable oceans, or mental health. Whether you're supporting students in need or the equipment required for inquiry and discovery. Together, 17,000 of you are a force for so much good here at UBC, and we are so grateful. So tonight, we celebrate you. Thank you for supporting UBC. Thank you for engaging with us. Thank you for allowing us to honor you. And thank you for your generosity of time, money, and spirit. Well, many of you took the opportunity to join us last year as we commemorated the UBC centennial and shared the story of the incredible journey of our first 100 years. And now, as we move into our second century, we do so under the experienced and energetic leadership of Professor Santa J. Ono. Born in Vancouver, where his father, Dr. Takashi Ono, was a professor in UBC's mathematics department, no less. Professor Ono earned his BA in biological science at the University of Chicago and his PhD in experimental medicine at McGill University. His principal research interests focus on the immune system and eye disease. Early in his career, Professor Ono held a variety of teaching, research, and administrative positions at the Johns Hopkins School of Medicine, Harvard Medical School, University College London, Emory University, and finally at the University of Cincinnati, where he held the position of provost before becoming president in 2012. Under his leadership, the University of Cincinnati recorded the largest enrollment in its history and received numerous accolades, including being named Public University of the Year by the Washington Center and the hottest college in America by Professor Ono's more than 70,000 Twitter followers. In 2015, Inside Higher Education named Professor Ono America's most notable university president. Now, Professor Ono has returned to Vancouver to become the 15th president and vice chancellor of the University of British Columbia. And tonight, it is my extreme pleasure to introduce you to Professor Santa J. Ono.
Well, good evening, everyone. It's really remarkable to be here with you this evening, to see all of your faces and to think about the tremendous impact you have all collectively and individually made in making University of British Columbia what it is today. Now, many people tell that story about my birth here in Point Grey, first at St. Paul's and then as a toddler here on the UBC campus here. And, when I told my father about my appointment to UBC as its 15th president and vice chancellor, there was a gasp on the other side. I called him at home, and he was just incredibly touched to just think about the fact that I was going back to where his academic career started. He came here as an assistant professor of mathematics, and at the time, Norman Mackenzie was president and vice chancellor of the university, and there was a Professor Gage that some of you may know, who was a professor of mathematics, a senior professor of mathematics when my father was a junior professor of mathematics. And, it was an incredibly important part of my family's life when he was offered a tenure-track position here at UBC after spending some time at the Princeton Institute for Advanced Study. And I'll tell you, not only my father, but my mother as well, and my two brothers are looking forward to coming back to Vancouver and just seeing firsthand, in the case of two of my brothers, they haven't been back to Vancouver since those years, 50 or more years ago. And they're in for quite a surprise. UBC at the time, 54 years ago, was an excellent university in Canada. Clearly already the best university in the West. And mentioned, my father used to say, among the three outstanding universities in Canada, with Toronto and McGill. But if you think about what's happened in those 54 years since I was sort of crawling around here in diapers, it's extraordinary. This building that we're in today wasn't here, nor was that incredible AMS building, the Nest, that $120 million building, which I can tell you, having traveled all around North America, all around the world, and visiting many, many universities, is, I'm pretty sure, the best AMS or student union building in the world. It's really remarkable, wouldn't you agree? And how about the bookstore? And how those buildings on Main Mall that house computer science, the expansion of the Sauder School of Business, it's truly remarkable what's happened here in a very short period of time. If you think about, for example, the Faculty of Medicine, today I had the privilege of speaking to the Department of Medicine, one of the largest departments of medicine in the world, with almost 1,700 faculty and staff, and which publishes almost 1,100 papers of high quality read all over the world. If you think about what the Faculty of Medicine was 54 years ago, does anybody remember? Somebody actually gave me the graduate of the first entering class of the Faculty of Medicine at UBC, gave me a picture book. And there was on the cover a photograph of the original Faculty of Medicine. It was a single-story building on Point Grey. And in this very short period of time, within my lifetime, it has become one of the 20 great faculties of medicine in the world, which has which garners almost $300 million a year in research support, which has the largest family medicine department in the world, and has many of the leading biomedical scientists and physicians anywhere on the planet, really pushing the envelope in things such as the development of a new HIV treatment, really pushing the envelope in cancer genomics, and which will really usher in the age of personalized medicine, and really one of the great brain health centers in the world. Just the other day, I had two of my friends, one from the University of Pennsylvania and the other from Emory University. And they spent time walking around campus, speaking to some of the deans of the faculties, some of the students, some of the staff. They spent a couple of days. The two from Emory are still here. And I actually sat down with them. And I said, what do you think of UBC? And my friend from the University of Pennsylvania said, simply astonishing. This is a stunning institution. And he had lectured at UBC just 30 years ago. He said, it's unrecognizable, the institution, in size, in depth, in impact. And that's all happened in a very short period of time. If you actually look at the league tables or the rankings of Times Higher Education, or the QS rankings, or the U.S. News and World Report rankings of world universities, I hope you've noticed that your university is one of the 25 to 31 best universities in the world. And the thing that you notice is that if you look at the universities of which we are peers, you know, my predecessor's predecessor, Stephen Toop, is now the president and vice chancellor of the University of Cambridge, a great university. It has many centuries to its name. What's happened here at UBC in just 101 years on the Okanagan campus, in only 11 years, if you haven't been to the Okanagan campus, go look at it. It is a very mature, robust place with a stunning campus, with a growing research presence. It is simply remarkable what's happened. It's not even in its teenage years. And if you think about the sports, the recreational supports that are here, you know, that really contribute to the well-being of our students, it's pretty remarkable what our students are able to use in playing tennis or in rowing or in playing football or rugby, any of those sorts of things. The facilities that are here today, if you just look back 10 years ago, it's truly remarkable what's happened in a very short period of time. None of this would have been possible without your strong support. I want to talk to you about a couple of things, just a few examples of the impact of your support of the university. You know, I love books. My first degree in university was at the University of Chicago, and some of you might have been to the University of Chicago, another relatively young university, older than UBC, that has done quite well in a relatively short period of time. And some of you know that the philosophy of that institution is to read the primary books, the great books, regardless of what it is that you will concentrate in. The philosophy there is that an educated individual needs to understand the fundamental theorems and great books across the disciplines, the core curriculum, they call it. And so what we had to do was to actually read Plato. We had to read some of the original texts. We had to learn Western civilization by reading some of the primary material that's used instead of a synthesis of those primary texts. And so I love books. And if you look at the library, if there's any part of this institution that is the heart of the institution, it's the library. And we have a very good library with 7 million books and digital collections. And it's got a lot of high technology. It has high-density shelving. It has a robot that will find your book. You probably know that when Queen Elizabeth was opening the IKB the two modern appendages to the original library, the oldest building here, Martha Piper was president. And there's this famous photograph of Martha Piper sitting on a platform with Queen Elizabeth. And some of you know this joke because there's this wonderful picture of Queen Elizabeth sort of leaning over, whispering into the ear of Martha Piper. You know what she said? She said, "Are there any books in this building?" In that building, this year, there's a very special book. If you haven't seen it, I encourage you to go there and take a look in the Rare Books collection. And when I saw it, it simply took my breath away. It was a leather-bound edition of Chaucer's Canterbury Tales, designed and printed by the English master craftsman William Morris at the Kelmscott Press in 1896. It's a beautiful volume, the finest example of English letterpress printing in the 19th century, incredibly rare, and because of that, incredibly expensive. We were able to acquire that book, whose value put it out of reach of all but the wealthiest of academic institutions, and it was quite competitive. But it was because of your support that our library was able to find the support very quickly to get that book for the faculty, staff, and students of this institution forever. It will be digitized and shared with scholars around the world. And this is just one example of the kind of legacy that you leave that really will be a pillar in the experience and the education of current day students, but also students that will come many years from now. I've told you about the impact of the support of this wonderful alumni facility, and there are many other examples across all 14 faculties of the university. But the most profound example of the impact of your work, I argue, if you walk around later today, if you look around the room, you'll see people that are quite a bit younger than I wearing this bow tie. I love wearing bow ties, if you haven't noticed. And these are the UBC colors. But spend some time and go up to the students that are either wearing their bow tie around their neck or on their dress, or some of them are wearing them sort of like corsages. Remember when you took your date to the prom? They were made of flowers, but in this case, it's actually a bow tie. The most profound example of the impact of your support, of which we are forever grateful, is that for those 30 students that are here today, but even more than that, for the thousands of students here that receive scholarships that stem from your contributions, you make their education possible. And if you think back to your time at UBC, or whatever university you attended, it's not just about the parchment. It's not just about the degree that you put on the wall. Remember that time when you were in university. Remember what you were like when you stepped foot on campus as a first-year student. I remember. I was completely naive, idealistic, and my life was completely transformed by being given the gift of a university education. And so for the thousands of students, the 30 that are here today, but the 61,000 that are here at UBC on this campus and the Okanagan, thank you for investing in their lives and futures and in what they shall do to make the world a better place. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Professor Ono, for your inspiring words. I am very grateful to be able to spend my final undergraduate year here at UBC with you as our president. And I have to say, I do spend most of my time in the UBC libraries. Just a few additional notes before I invite you to continue the reception. As Professor Ono mentioned, many of you may have noticed students this evening, some very fashionable guests, who have something in common with Professor Ono, the bow tie. These are students, like me, who would love to talk with you and share our UBC experiences. There are students here from varied programs and backgrounds, so please don't be shy during the reception. You are very welcome to come talk to us. Second, as everyone would like to know, there are food and beverage stations throughout the first and second floor of the building. And there are also posters spread around the building that note just some of the many successes UBC has had over recent years because of you and others like you. As you pass by a TV screen, please take a moment to watch and see the many social media messages that have recently been posted. They speak to the ripple effect that your giving is having, so be sure to explore it all. Again, we are so appreciative of your generosity. You are making it possible for faculty, staff, and students like me to make an impact in BC, Canada, and the world. We couldn't do it without you. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.